Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read 12 verses out, and then we'll get started here. This story about the kings who came to give Jesus some presents at his birth. But let's go ahead and read in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king, as born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture here, Lord, that hopefully will teach us so much tonight, Lord, just some truths about giving gifts to our King, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help, you just help me tonight to preach this. And, Father, open the hearts of the people and that they just receive the Word of God with gladness, Lord, tonight. So we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read through this portion of Scripture. Just wanted to read about the Christmas story and things like that, the different accounts of the gospel. And what caught my attention was verse 11. Verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. And they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." I mean, they came because they knew there was the birth of a king. And they were coming to present unto him presents, offerings to worship this newborn king. You know, it is his birthday. That is the reason that we have Christmas. That is the reason that we celebrate this at this time of the year. We've thought about gifts for others, I'm sure. Many of us have thought about all the gifts that we're going to give. But have you thought about what gift you're going to give to Jesus? Have you thought about what you're going to give Jesus this year? I mean, it is his birthday. You know, my sending church back in the States, my home church, actually bakes a cake, and it says, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And because it's his birthday, amen? And we want to offer him presents, right? Have you ever thought about that? Obviously, we're not talking about tangible presents. I can't hand it to the Lord Jesus, you know, some precious jewels or gold or frankincense and myrrh. But Eric kind of hit on it. There are presents we can give to the Lord. Spiritual presents or things that are intangible but very precious to God. And we'll talk about them really at the end, but I really want to key in on how we give. But what do you buy a king? What do you offer to a king? Obviously, what is appropriate to give to King Jesus? Seeing he is the Lord, obviously only the best. And the cost? What would the cost be for a gift like that? Well, whatever the gift demands, and the giver is willing to pay. So, you know, there's some gifts that you can give that are absolutely priceless. But are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay what the gift demands? John 3:16. Who knows John 3:16? Nice and loud. Go ahead. He gave a great gift, didn't he? Quite a high price, wasn't it? His own son. How about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Who knows that? Go ahead. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not out of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not What a great gift. No merit of our own. God just gave it to us because He loves us. It's priceless, absolutely priceless that God would give us salvation. And we can't earn it, can't do anything for it, but it's such a costly gift. And then Romans 6:23, who knows that? Go ahead. Wow, what do we earn? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, the gift of salvation demanded death, didn't it? Yeah, the gift of salvation demanded death for payment. But the giver was willing to pay the cost. And I wonder tonight, if you're willing to give a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you willing to pay the cost? Whatever it costs to give such a priceless gift. There needs to be planning. You need to plan and in order to present the gift. And then there's the protection of the gift that you give to King Jesus. These three things is what I'm going to be talking about. The planning, the presentation, and the protection of the gift that you give to the Lord. We need to think about giving Jesus Christ a gift this year. Your personal gift to the Lord. Because it is His birthday. And I want to know, what are you going to give Him? Have you thought about that lately? You know, let me give you some background. In the verses of Scripture here we just read, we know that wise men came from the east of Bethlehem. I don't know where, but they were east of Bethlehem. Somewhere out there in the Orient they came. And how many? We don't know. We really don't know how many there were. We just sang a song with three kings of Orient, but we don't know how many there were. We know that there were three gifts that were given. But we do know that they were wise men. The Bible says that the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And we would call them magi. They would be like magicians. Now, they didn't pull rabbits out of their hat. They were more like scientists. They were learned men. They were scholars. And they were probably involved in astrology and the stars and all that. But they were very high-ranking and important people, these wise men. And the wise men knew the prophecy. You know, verses 2 through 6 tell us some, a little bit about the prophecy and what we should have been, what they should have been looking for to know that the Christ was going to be born. But the Jews did not see it. And the Jews didn't see the signs, though they had the Scriptures right before them. You know, in verse 2 it says, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" they said. "For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." One of the things they should have seen was the star. I mean, the wise men were back in the Orient where they lived, and they saw the star there. I mean, they're already in the east. They didn't look east of the star because they went west to go to Bethlehem. The star was where they were. They noticed there was a star, something different than what they knew. That there was a special glory or shine or light in the sky. It was His star. Hold your finger here and go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. The Jews should have recognized these signs. In chapter 60 of Isaiah it says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." That's amazing. He was born King of the Jews, but the light was come to the Gentiles also. Hey, these three kings of Orient, they were Gentiles, and they had come to worship this newborn king. In fact, it also says in verse, in verse 9 it says, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." You know, they came to Bethlehem because they knew that's where the babe was going to be born, or to Jerusalem, to find out, because the star had told them that that king was about to be born. But then when they were looking now where the child was going to be born, the star, actually the light, came right down over Bethlehem where Jesus was and where He was living at the time with His mother Mary. So the star wasn't from the east. The star was in the east when the Magi, that's where they lived, and they saw the star. But at least they knew that this was fulfilling prophecy. There was something different about this star. How about His position and power? Look back in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, we all know verse 6. It says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." He had a position. He had a power, because when you look back in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 4, it says that when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. What am I looking for? And verse 5, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so he had a position and a power. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Jesus Christ was to fulfill this eternal kingdom and sit on the throne of David. Look in Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Here these wise men knew the prophecy. Isaiah chapter 5 and in verse, I'm sorry, Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2 says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." So maybe the Jews didn't see it, but the three, well, these wise men did. They saw it, and that's why they were there, to worship a king. And they brought gifts with them. Now, I want you to see that Jesus is already born by the time they get there. Obviously, you know that they were not at the stall or the place where he was born. They come along much later. Look back in Matthew. Look back in Matthew chapter 2 and look in verse 8. Back in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 8, Jesus is already born and some time has passed. In verse 8 it says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search," this is Herod, "go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Look also in verse 11. It says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child." He's not in a barn or a stall anymore. He's in a house. And then in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." So, it's not a little baby. This is a young child. Maybe a year old. Maybe he's taking his first steps. But some time has passed since the birth of Jesus Christ. And they've come to worship this king, this young child. And they've come with their gifts. Now in verse 2, again it says, "Saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They've come to worship a king. And verse 11 says the same thing. When they came in, they fell down before Jesus Christ. They knew that this was the King of the Jews. I want you to see that they fell down before Jesus. They were worshiping Him. They weren't worshiping Mary. Their focus wasn't on the mother of Jesus Christ. Their focus was on Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, that had brought them there. The gifts weren't for Mary. The gifts were for Jesus Christ. Now how can we be wise Christians today and give a gift to our King and worship Him? First, I want you to see how to give, and then we'll look at some gift ideas. Amen? I actually have some ideas for you. But first, you need to plan to give. You know, there's only 10 shopping days till Christmas. Yeah. There's only 10 shopping days till Christmas. And I know, Pastor Ledbetter has got that shiny new lawnmower for Nita. He's got to go get that, you know, because she's just dying for that new lawnmower, right? You know, I didn't want to tell Kathy that I got her, you know, since she changes the oil in the car all the time, I was going to get her one of those new mechanics dollies, you know, so she can get around under the car easier. No, but there's, right, you are not going to get your wife a mechanics dolly. Although a lawnmower wouldn't be a bad idea. But you know what? There's only 10 shopping days left, and you know what you're doing? You're thinking, you're planning, you're considering thoughtfully, what should I get the person that I love? What do I want to get somebody at Christmas? Because time is fleeting, isn't it? Well, these three wise men had thought about what they were getting. They had a long time to travel and a long time to think about this. And why gold? Why frankincense and myrrh? Why? Because they're befitting a king. They're befitting the royalty that was going to be before them, you see, King Jesus. It's valuable. It's costly. And it's certainly fit for a king. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24. Let's give you an illustration here. 2 Samuel 24. You remember King David? He numbered the people and God got upset at him. And then Gad came, the seer, and said, you need to offer to the Lord, seeing David knew that he had sinned against God. So Gad told him to offer unto the Lord, rear up an altar at the threshing floor of Araunah. And so David goes in verse 18. And Gad came that day to David, 2 Samuel 24:18, to David and said unto him, go up and rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him, and Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed for the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All of these things did Araunah, as a king, give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king, meaning David, said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Why do I show you that? Because David wanted to give something to the Lord and offer something to the Lord that cost him something. You want to give somebody something that costs you something. Like Jesus gave his life at Calvary. The price demanded death. The wages of sin is death. And he gave a priceless gift himself on the cross of Calvary. Are you willing to give that, pay that price, to give Jesus something costly, something valuable, something like gold and frankincense and myrrh this Christmas season? Something to dedicate to him sacrificially. David said, look, I have to buy it. It's not going to cost me anything. I want to pay. I want to sacrificially give to the Lord because of who he is. But why gold? Gold is fit for a king, that's why. Like Solomon had everything made of gold. But you know, Matthew 24:42 says, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When he was talking to the Jews and telling them that the queen of the south is going to rise up against some of these cities in judgment. And talking about Solomon, she came to see the greatness of Solomon. He said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And he is. He's royalty. He's God in the flesh. He's King Jesus. And gold only befits a king. Gold is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful to look at. And so is Jesus. And it's pure. And so was his life, pure. Yes, gold would be wonderful, but you can't hand him gold right now. But it is something of great price. How about frankincense? Turn to Exodus chapter 30. Why frankincense? Why did they bring frankincense to this little young lad, Jesus Christ? Exodus chapter 30. They brought him gold because it was fit for a king. If you're going to give Jesus a gift this year, give him something that's fit for a king. In Exodus chapter 30, and in verse 34, it says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices. I don't know how to say this. Doctor? Stat, and onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, look at this, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall be cut off from his people. So this frankincense and this concoction they came up with was holy. And it was only for God because it was pure and holy. And I can imagine the scent that came off before the Holy of Holies, the curtain there, and the altar of incense as it rose up before God. Just like our prayers that arise up before the Lord. Holy unto God, you see. There must have been a beautiful fragrance, a wonderful smell. But that's when you come to meet with God. What you give to God should be expensive. It should be wonderful and fragrance and worship. It was used for worship. Think about what you're going to give to King Jesus this year for Christmas. And how about myrrh? Myrrh was also fairly expensive, and it was used as a perfume. But it was also used as an anesthetic, an embalming fluid, and an anointing oil. Turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 23. Here he is on his way to the cross. Verse 22 says, "And they bring him unto the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull." Mark 15:23 says, "And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." He didn't take any of it. It was used as an anesthetic. They thought they could dull and numb some of the pain. But Jesus wasn't ready to dull or numb any of the pain. He took all that pain for us. He felt every agonizing blow from the rod. And he felt every pound of the hammer driving the nails into his hands and into his feet. He felt all the lashes as he was scourged. He felt every single bit of pain. He didn't take any pain medication. You know, the next time you say you have excruciating pain, think about what you're saying. Because the word excruciating means excrucio, out of the cross. That's how we get that word, excrucio, for all you Latin students, out of the cross. And Jesus Christ felt that excruciating pain, but he didn't take anything to numb that pain. He took it all for us. How about John chapter 19? John chapter 19. Myrrh was also used as an embalming fluid. They take his body down off the cross. John chapter 19, verse 39. It says, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight." I mean, I can just imagine the fragrance, 100 pounds of this myrrh and aloes. I mean, what do you pay for a little bottle, ladies, for just aloe? Here they had 100 pounds of this fragrance, and it was used, it was going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. And finally, look at Matthew 26. Back to Matthew 26. I know that many of the other accounts in the Gospels speak of spikenard that was poured over his head. I like to think maybe in this part here that there was some myrrh. Matthew 26:12. Start in verse 7. It says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, She did it for my burial. She was preparing him, anointing him for his burial. So it was used for all these different things. Why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Because they were precious. They were valuable. They were costly. There was a reason that they brought these certain things to honor this newborn king. Something, a gift should be planned. It should be something thought out and consider. Don't just make a rash decision, I'm going to do this for Jesus, or I'm going to give him this part of my life, or I'm going to, without really thinking these things through. There has to be a reason. There has to be a point to the gift. I've already decided what I'm giving to King Jesus this year. And I hope maybe I can just jog your mind and your hearts to think, what can I give to Jesus this year for His birthday that would honor Him? Remember, it's your gift to Him. It's your gift to Him. You know, it's something that should be thought out. It should be a promise. It should be a vow that you're going to do it. You're going to give it to Jesus. Just resolve that you're going to give Him something. These gifts were planned out. They were bringing gifts to Jesus Christ that were worthy of Jesus Christ and deserving. The gift for you, you are giving to God Almighty. And we should plan even tonight that maybe we can give Jesus Christ something special for His birthday this year. Because He's the King, and He's our King. Let it be something that you've thought about, though. Take your time. Don't be rash in your decision. But I really would like you to think about, what am I going to give King Jesus for His birthday this year? Plan it out. And you have to prepare. Look back in Matthew chapter 2. Looking back in Matthew chapter 2. It should be presented. That should be. I didn't change that. Presented. Matthew chapter 2. It needs to be presented. You see in verse 11 there, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts. They were opened and presented, and they took time, and there was a purpose to the presentation. They were opened. That means it was openly revealed. Whatever you give to the Lord, it's going to have to be opened and revealed to Him. Unashamedly. Whatever you want to give to the Lord this year, think about it. Think about the Christmas morning in anticipation. It's not just you, the gift you're receiving, it's what you've given someone else. And you're waiting for them to open their present. You're probably more excited than they are. You can't wait till they open the present and see what you've got them or someone else has bought them. Well, can you just have some anticipation? I wonder what the Lord's going to think about my gift this year. I wonder how He's going to react to what I want to give to Him. Just for Him, I want to present this gift. Just for King Jesus. Just picture His face when you give Him something precious and valuable and costly. Present your gift with humility. You see, they fell down and they worshipped Him. You know, the only reason that we can give a gift to the Lord is because He's given us so many good gifts. Really, what can I give the Lord that He hasn't already given me? I'm only giving it back to Him what He's already giving me. What does the Bible say in James 1:17? Every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. So there it is. He's given us all these gifts. We're just giving it back to Him. Now, I have a list of gifts, and I'll try to hold on to that and try not to get ahead of myself. But we need to talk to the Lord, and we need to be in prayer, and we need to look at our own life and say, what can I give King Jesus this year? I want to present it to Him humbly and fall down and worship Him with this gift. You need to make the offering precious too. It needs to be precious. Look at Matthew chapter 5. No strings attached. You need to get it right. Right now, get right with God and have your life completely under the control of God so that when you offer the gift, there's no strings attached. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first and be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer the gift. You know, I think the Lord wants a gift that is pure and it's untainted. It's unhindered. It doesn't have strings attached to it. It's make sure there's no trouble spots in your life, that there's nothing that has to be reconciled with anyone else. That for the most part, you're ready to give a gift that is just precious to God. It's a precious offering. No strings attached. Completely free and unhindered. When you present it, He doesn't have to. You don't have to lay it aside and say, I need to go get something right. You can just give it to Him and He would be pleased to have it because everything else is taken care of in your life. How about present the gift with the idea of worshiping Him? That you're in complete adoration in all of who Jesus Christ is and your devotion to Him. That you want to honor Him. They fell down when they came before this little child. They fell down before Jesus Christ. They knew who He was. This was God in flesh. This was royalty that was standing before them, maybe, or this little child. Maybe He was walking, I don't know. But they knew who He was. And my friend, you know who God is. And we need to fall down once in a while and just worship God and present your gift in such a way that it's just free and clear. Your heart is open. And you're doing it just to honor the Lord and please Him with the gift that you give Him. Just present the gift because He deserves it. Don't put any conditions on it. Let me just show you in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. This is what you don't do. Genesis chapter 28. Jacob is close to getting things straightened out, but he's not there yet. At least as far as I'm concerned here, reading this. Genesis 28. And in verse 20 it says, And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It's like he's making a vow, and he's making a promise, but he's putting conditions. He said, if God does this, and if God does that, and if God takes care of me, and if God does this, then He'll be my God. That's not the way you want to offer a gift to God. That's not the way you want to make a promise to God that you're going to give Him something, because it's full of conditions. Take all the conditions off and all the strings off and just present it in humility and worship to God. Finally, you need to protect the gift. Look back in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 12. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 12, they've given them the gifts and they've already dealt with Herod. Herod wanted to know where the child was, and so that they would come back and tell him, the wise men would go back and tell him so that he could slaughter all the children 2 years old and under, thinking he could kill this newborn king. But the child was taken down into Egypt. In verse 12 it says, And being warned of God, these are the wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They were warned of God. And they didn't go back and tell Herod. Now a lot of children died because of that. Because Herod and him wanting to be king and didn't like the idea of another king being on the scene. But the Lord Jesus was protected and taken down to Egypt. And these wise men went back into their own country. And you know what? We have to protect the gift that we give the Lord too. We need to keep our promise to God. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to keep our promise to God when we give Him something. 1 Timothy 4 in verse 14 says, Paul talking to Timothy, saying, Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Here Timothy was given this great gift of preaching, and he was told by Paul, don't you neglect it. And we shouldn't neglect the gift that we give to the Lord. We need to protect it and not disregard it. But keep stirring it up, as it says, just turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, Paul again tells Timothy, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I'm talking about the gift that you give God. Keep stirring it up. Keep protecting it. Make sure that it doesn't fall by the wayside, that you forget the vow that you made or the promise that you made to Him. Promise God and then protect that promise. Don't neglect it. Don't disregard it. And don't let the devil get in the way or anyone else and steal it away. What does John 10:10 say? The devil, the thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. That's the only reason the devil's here, is to make mince of your life and take anything good out of your life, to strip it away. So be careful that the devil doesn't take away that gift. Protect it. You give God your heart, protect your heart. Guard your heart. Don't allow anybody to take away that gift or to strip it away or to make it less than what you wanted it to be for the Lord. We need to heed God's warnings. Now, we don't get visions and dreams. That's not the way we get our instructions from God. We get our instructions from the Bible. That's our warning system. But we need to make sure that we're heeding God's warnings. You know, these wise men, they heard, go another way. Don't go back and tell Herod anything. Just be on your way. Go back to your country. And they did exactly as they were told. We need to do the same thing. The Bible tells us to prove all things. We need to make sure that we're living right and doing right, that we don't let this gift just go. That we don't let it just fall away. And it's, you know, like Pastor said this morning about the salvation 34 years ago. Mine was 24 years ago. It's just as fresh and new as the day that I got saved. And I don't think that'll ever go away. I don't want it to ever go away. I constantly remember that He took a wretch like me and He saved me and He changed my life and He gave me so many wonderful good things. That's one way of keeping that fresh, that gift that He's given me. What about the gift that you give to Him? Keep that fresh. Protect it. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. I just think we need to heed God's warning so that we don't lose the preciousness of the gift that we're giving to Him. Because it's going to be something that we offer to Him out of our lives. The gift you give Jesus this Christmas is a personal offering, and it's all under your control. It's up to you to be willing. Am I going to give Him this part of my life? Or am I going to, dedicate this, or whatever you give to God, am I going to give it? It's all under my control. And I can keep it and protect it and watch over it. It's up to us to guard it, if you understand what I'm saying. Let the gift be just as precious 10 years from now as it is when you first gave it to Him. Let me give you some gifts that you might want to give the Lord Jesus Christ on His birthday this year. They're all intangible things. You can't feel them and hold them. Well, yes, you can, I guess. There's a couple there. But first of them, as Eric said this morning, what's a great gift? How about yourself? I think that's the most priceless, valuable gift that you could give to the Lord Jesus Christ, is your own life, who you are. You know, there may be somebody here that's had many, many opportunities to be saved, and still, you've let them go by the wayside. I don't know how many more opportunities you may have, but salvation is precious. When we get saved, we ought to dedicate our lives. I wonder if there's a young person here who would dedicate their life to the Lord this year and say, I want to give Jesus the gift of my life, that He would have absolute control of my life. As best I can, I want to fully submit myself to whatever God says, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. I wonder if that would be a wonderful gift to give the Lord this year. And just give Him something precious like your life, yourself, you. How about time? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 16. We guard our time very closely. We keep it. We plan it. We protect it. But we need to give it to Him. It might be something you want to give to Him. Time to serve Him. In Ephesians 5:16 it says this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now look, I can't get back yesterday, but I can get back the days that are ahead. I can make sure that I use every second, every moment for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians. Just turn to the right. A few more books. Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 5. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, there's a whole lost world out there that Jesus loves. And how much time have you taken to tell anybody about Jesus Christ and how to be saved? He says we're to redeem the time. Buy it back. Use it. It's precious. Would you give Him time this year? Time to serve Him. That time, Saturday afternoon, at the Valley College Shopping Center singing was absolutely priceless. That was 2 hours that you've redeemed of your life, that was given to the Lord. And people heard, they heard carols. They didn't hear about Santa Claus and Jingle Bells. They heard about Jesus Christ and how He was lifted up. He was exalted in the faces and in the hearts of the people that were singing. You redeemed 2 hours of your life. We ought to do that every day. Maybe you would give Him your time this year. Maybe on Christmas morning you say, Lord, I want to give You my life. I want to give You all my time to You. It's Yours anyway. You know, You've given it to me, but I want to give it back to You. Your time. How about a broken and contrite heart? Turn to Psalm 51. I would venture to say there's somebody in here even tonight that has a broken heart. Maybe has some issues and circumstances in their life. And you're kind of hurting, or you're dealing with something. Psalm 51 and verse 16, the Bible says, For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God loves broken hearts. He's drawn to them. As I said, like fillings to a magnet. Like iron fillings to a magnet. Look at Isaiah 57. Just turn to the right. Isaiah 57. Is your heart broken? Cry out to God. Maybe you'd give that to Him. All those issues you've been dealing with, all those circumstances. Maybe you're broken about sin. Why don't you give that to the Lord? Why don't you repent? Isaiah 57:15 says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So here's God. He's never far away in the Christian's heart. He's always there. He's never far away. He inhabits eternity, but He also inhabits our heart. And He's very close. Always very near to us. And if you have a broken heart, if you have a contrite heart, if you have a humble spirit about you, even broken by sin, God's right there. Why don't you give it to Him? It would be a great sacrifice. Because it really doesn't matter to God. As long as there's a brokenness and a contriteness, then He's drawn to that. Because you want to get your life right. You ought to read James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Where God is drawn to that heart that is repentant and mourning. How about a willingness to do His will? I wonder how the Lord would feel if He heard those words from you on Christmas morning. Lord, not my will, but Thine will be done. This next year, it's a fresh start. Whatever You want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to turn You away, Lord. When You ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. Whatever You want me to do. I always think of the young people. I didn't get saved until I was 35 years old. You young people, I'm talking about 25 and under. You young people, why don't you give your heart to God? Why don't you say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. I mean, look, you're already a child of God. He saved you. And you're trying to walk with God, why not give Him all of it? Why not say, Lord, take complete control of my life? Why do you keep holding back bits and pieces? And you never experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God in your life. Who knows what He might do in your life? You'll just say, Lord, I'm willing to do Your will, whatever it is. Hey, you old-timers out there, make sure you're not holding back anything from God. I wasn't called until I was 48 years old. I was saved at 35, but I knew the Lord wanted me to preach at 48. 48. I don't know how many people are under 48 and people are over 48. I'm certainly over 48 now, but God still wants to use you. Why not say, Lord, You've got my whole life. Whatever You want to do. I'm not settled into my ways. I want Your will to be done in my life. I think You'd be pleased by that this Christmas. I think that'd be something you could wrap it up and put a bow on it and just hand it over to Him. How about your treasures? Matthew 6:21 says, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your heart is where the things that you value, the things that you love, things that you hold on to, and that's where your heart is, your treasures. But I'm not just talking about money, because we hold on to other things too. There's other things that we put before the Lord, like our wives, our husbands, our children. They're first. God isn't. Car, home, hobbies. There's a lot of things we put before the Lord. And there are treasures. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you willing to give your treasures over to God? Just give it all away. To give it to Him. Again, put a big bow on it and say, Lord, these are Your children. They're not mine. You're just giving them to me to take care of them and raise them up. This is, You gave me my wife. But she's not first. You're first, Lord. I give her to You. Whatever You want to do with her. And wives, say the same thing about your husbands. Thank You for my husband, Lord, but You're first, not my husband. God has to be first. That's your treasures. Let them go. Just let them go. And finally, that's what I'm giving the Lord this year. So now you all know, so you can keep an eye on me and help me protect my gift. I want to give the Lord not just trust, but patient trusting. I can be impatient. Has anybody else ever been impatient? Am I the only impatient sinner in the room? Amen. Sometimes it's not lagging behind. Sometimes I get ahead of God. And I don't want to get ahead of Him. I want to trust Him, and I do. But I want to patiently trust the Lord and just wait on Him. Turn to Psalm 27. The last scripture here. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 14. This is for me. I wrote my Bible, be patient in the delays. When God doesn't answer. And you just feel like you're waiting. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He says it twice. He's talking to me. He says, wait. Just wait, Dan. Just wait. Be of good courage, and God will strengthen your heart. So I trust Him, but I need to wait on Him. I want to be patient. Maybe you have the same problem. Maybe that would be something that you could give to God. I'm going to wait on the Lord this year. I'm never going to get ahead of Him. I'm just going to patiently wait on God. My faith is going to be strong, but it's also going to be patient waiting. So, now what? Well, 2,000 years ago, some wise men traveled from far away to give this newborn king some gifts and worship him, and they were valuable and costly gifts. But what about Christians today? We're His children. We're not just some Gentiles from faraway land. We're His children. What are we giving Jesus Christ this year for His birthday? You never looked at it, because I never really looked at it before. And now I'm thinking, what am I going to give the Lord this year? Will you give Jesus a gift on His birthday this year? Would you think about it? You'd have to plan it. Give it some thoughtful consideration about what Jesus is getting this year for His birthday. And then present it to Him. It's precious, humbly worshiping the Lord, and then protect it. Guard it so that it doesn't fall away, so it doesn't get tarnished, so it stays just as fresh as the day that you gave it to Him. Amen? Plan it, present it, and then protect it. Gifts for the King. Amen? Amen.